Connect. People. Potential. Technology.
He is a serial tech entrepreneur, AI native and blockchain enthusiast, passionate builder and resilient founder. With an academic background in data, AI and actual science, Ghassan Benhajallah is currently building Incivio. Incivio transforms your training material into fun, bite-sized knowledge completed with personalized learning paths that ensure easy upskilling and retention. Ghassan Benhajallah founded several ventures, the most recent being a Swiss fintech marketplace where he spent 7 years building AI models to assess the creditworthiness of businesses. Before that, he was part of the exit of a BNPL startup where he built a real-time fraud detection AI model, reducing losses by more than 70%. Welcome to the Swiss Capricorn podcast, Ghassan. Happy to have you on board today.
Thank you, Jakob. It's an honor to be here. Thank you.
Ghassan, I would like to start the podcast with a question. What was your first encounter in the digital world in your life?
Very interesting. Look, I was very, very young. First computer, I was playing, so games. Two games that I was playing very early on. One is, I don't remember the name, but that's a game where you manage a football club. You don't, it's not like the FIFA or so, you don't play with players and stuff, but you manage like the stadium and you sell and buy merchandises and stuff like that. And you buy and sell players. I was very excited about that. Another one that is similar was about managing an airline. It's very interesting as well. So you could buy trenches, let's say, I don't know, Zurich, New York, and you can brand your own airline and you can decide what do you serve in like a business class and what do you do with that. So anyways, that was purely gaming and anything related to management games.
You are a serial tech entrepreneur. I would be curious to know, Ghassan, what are the challenges in building a company during the scaling phase?
Many of them. And I don't think we have enough time during this podcast to tell you about them. But the one that comes directly in my mind is, look, when you build a company, especially I am really a 0-to-1 guy. I really like that piece. Is that you build things from scratch. Right. And what's very important in the early days of a startup is the culture. Right. So first, it's either you and you have a couple of co-founders, one or two, and that's the culture of the company. And then very good things happen, sometimes not. But let's take the case where things happen and growth and you raise money or you have good clients. You start needing to onboard new employees, people to help you continue building that dream or that mission. And that's very challenging, actually. It's not challenging because the first ones, you're not paying them very well because you don't have the money. But it's challenging because that changes slowly or evolves slowly the culture of the company. And depending on the time you have, and most of the time you don't have time, so you have a customer who says, like, I love it. I'll sign with you. You need to start delivering, I don't know, in 2 weeks. And then you be squeezed with the time. So you're not maybe the first, the second, the third hire, you are able still to manage to have the proper cultural fit. But I don't know, the fifth, the 10th, the 20th, it becomes more and more difficult. So that's a very, very challenging piece, I believe, because if the culture of the company is not there, and then it's not a problem that it evolves, but just the speed of the growth sometimes does not allow you to keep that things in order. And it can kill a company, honestly.
Having the wrong culture or no culture?
Yes, the wrong culture. Mm. Like if you start adding people because you just need that person because you need to deliver that contract, and then you just say, whatever, and then you can see it in the interview, there is no cultural fit. But yeah, you need that. You need to onboard that person now. And you're a startup. You're not, I don't know, Microsoft or OpenAI where you can receive like 100,000 applications. So you start doing these compromises. And that's the challenge. So between the compromise of just getting things done and having the right cultural fit with that person that is getting the right things done.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
How can you actively build a culture, Gassen?
I think by being there, being around a culture is it's very difficult. It's not like things where you tick the box with, right? So it's I mean, we've been speaking now for some time. You, by my tone, you hear as well by like the profile of the person. So I'm an international founder. I've been in different places. So it's really, I'm not able to say what is it, but let's say there are certain values we can agree on, and anything on the top is can be flexible, but different values, like, I don't know, like integrity, for example, is non-negotiable, at least for me, right? Doing the right thing when no one is looking is non-negotiable. I don't know, like enthusiasm as compared to what you do, right? So the mindset, the growth mindset, you know, someone who comes, for example, I'm from the side of coming with a solution to every problem. Some people come with a problem to every solution. You see what I mean? So that's the piece where the culture thinks, like when you start hiring fast, at least it happened to me in the past, my last business, we went like, I don't know, from 6 people to 30 people in 4 months during COVID. Mm. I lost that piece. It was very difficult to keep the culture, to hire fast, and I don't know. Maybe I didn't have the right tools, the right knowledge. But that, to answer your question, biggest challenge while growing, yeah, keeping the culture.
Let's move back to scaling a company. How can scaling effects be achieved with the help of Gen AI, AI technology? What is your experience? Because your company is also very driven by AI.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm a data science engineer. I've been doing AI for the last 15 years. AI is nothing new, really nothing new. It's just computing power that is becoming now very, very affordable makes building AI models also very fast and very affordable. Now, in the context of scaling a company, we need to be clear to separate automation and AI. So automation, we've been doing it since the past. You've been doing it in factories and everything. So automation, in my personal opinion, is not AI. Okay. So the automation piece, yeah, we've been doing it. Nothing new. You automate, I don't know, sending emails. You automate outreach. You automate like the robots that create, like they build a car in a factory, things like that. The AI piece, that's a very interesting piece because that has the predictive modeling piece. So with automation, you say, hey, if A and B happen, do X. Now with AI, you can say, hey, look, if A happens and B happens and maybe another C or D that you don't know about, there is a model that can bring you to doing, I don't know, Z, F, E, right? And that's very interesting today. So there are multiple applications for that now that are happening more and more. Typically, you know, you have like those bots that do support, for example. I think one of the examples I would love to also highlight maybe a bit more later is what we're doing at Ensivio. So today we are able to push fully personalized learning at a fraction of the cost. So any of those training models that you had before, those boring, non-engaging, long PDFs, now we transform them into like bite-sized curriculums, flashcards, TikTok-like videos, anything you can interact with and enjoy.
So make learning fun again.
Redefine learning within the workplace. Yeah.
How do business models change as the company grows?
Different directions. Most of the time they do change because also your first customer most probably will be completely different from your customer number 20 or 30. The product also evolves. So it's thinking that the business model will stay all the time the same is a bit, it won't be the case, let's put it this way. Now, how do they evolve? Depends on the situation, depends on the case. Today, for example, SaaS models, it's a subscription, so maybe the features in that package changes, the pricing changes, but a SaaS is a SaaS, it's a subscription, right? For example, the advent of like the fact that now we can store everything on the cloud changes completely business models. Remember, I don't know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, if you have a software company, you need to host data in your servers. This is crazy, right? Today, you don't need that. You go to AWS or any other provider. You just take it and you pay a subscription there. And then when you don't need it, you just kill it. You don't buy hardware. You don't, like, the real state of technology is becoming way more fluid today. So yes, business models change. I think they tend to become more into recurring subscription models because businesses today, they budget, and when they budget, they need to know the yearly plan, how much it costs. So if you cannot every day come with a new price or so.
Gerson, I would also like to talk about recruitment, finding the right talent for your company, also retaining it. What do you think should candidates and employees focus on to stay fit in the job market, especially for you and InCVU? That is your topic.
Yeah.
So what do you think is necessary to stay relevant in the job market for a candidate?
I always say it, learn the fundamentals. Please don't jump in any wave. Don't be the AI expert number 3,202. Some people have been doing that for years, right? So for me, again, learn the fundamentals and then build on top of it. So I hired many people in my life, and when someone sits in front of you and is like, yeah, well, I did AI or I did whatever, something, and you see it's just to jump on it, it's you lose credibility. And even if you get hired for that position, it's only a question of time until someone else comes and that's more native to her or him, and you will be on the side, right? So stay relevant, just learn the fundamentals, go directly to any piece, anything you want to learn. I don't know, you want to learn shrimp farming, I always take this example, I don't know why. Then go to the fundamentals of, I don't know, what's a shrimp, how does it live, what does it eat, and so on. Don't just take, I don't know, a franchise of it and do it. Maybe a bit extreme, but learn the fundamentals and build on top of it.
So learn the fundamentals and build on that. How do you, as an employer, stay attractive for your employees?
Interesting you're asking that, because that's exactly what we are solving with InCVU. What have been done so far, generally, to answer this question, you have those, you know, 1 year, yearly, I don't know, retreat, you get boot camps, you get salary increases. All of these are just solving for the symptoms. All of these existing solutions are just short-term, quick fixes. I truly believe, again, in the fundamentals, which means employees and their jobs need to feel fulfilled. They need to feel that they know more than just their task. Because, you know, a task is a task, but you need to be leaving the office every day with something new, with a new learning, with upskilling, you know. It's completely different than even the language, like training and upskilling is completely different things. We don't need to train people, we want to upskill them. Because if they are upskilled, they will first, for sure, produce more and better. But they will be very happy to stay in that environment, right? Because ultimately, even though it's true that globally we're getting lazier and lazier, attention spans are getting shorter and shorter, but it's a human trait. We want to grow. We want to feel better. We want to feel bigger, right? And that's, as employers, I would say retention, engagement of employees is very important.
Meaning always to engage with the employee and keep them engaged, upskill them, make them grow in their careers and keep them fulfilled, and then they will also stay loyal to the company.
100%. And even if they leave, there will be the guys who think that company is amazing and so on. So build for the long term, you know. Don't look at each employee as just like doing that task. That employee is a person, has a family, has whatever, has his own problems or life, basically, right? So be genuine about that. Build. I mean, I understand sometimes it's very difficult. Some people that simply don't care. But yeah, just be genuine with helping employees learning and growing.
Gassen, what do you think? What kind of jobs will disappear? What kind of jobs will remain? And what kind of jobs will newly be created in the future?
Jobs to disappear, remain, and be created. Okay. So the ones that will disappear, first of all, let's not blame technology for that. I'm a technologist, so I feel like I'm on the spot now. Let's not blame technology. I mean, technology helped us advance many things. I mean, yesterday I took a flight. I mean, without technology, I'd be dead already. So, yeah, let's be grateful to technology. And yes, technology might make some jobs disappear. The point is, if your job is disappearing because technology is replacing it, I will not blame technology and advancement for that. You see what I mean? So if you have that feeling, just go do something else. Learn again the fundamentals. Technology cannot replace the fundamentals, right? Okay, repetitive tasks that can be changed by technology. Okay, do something else. You have the time. We still have the time. We don't have 10 or 20 years. It's going fast. But the jobs that will disappear, I don't want to name them, but anything that has repetitive tasks, anything that does not use any human intelligence. Now AI, artificial intelligence, ultimately, trust me, is just something that is built by humans. So we are still far from that singularity point where there are robots coming and killing us and so on. I don't know, but you see, so just be human. And no technology will replace you. Now, on the other side, the jobs that will be created, that's amazing. So thanks to technology, today we can travel to Mars. Thanks to technology, today we can automate a lot of tasks. We can be focusing on what matters instead of just losing all our time. Like, think of everything that happened after COVID, you know, like remote work. We are able now to produce productivity and work from whatever place.
What we do right now.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You see, it goes very fast. You will be, thanks to technology today, you can sell to overseas, everywhere, right? Speak just the language of the customer and put the content in front of the customer. You see, so many jobs will be created thanks to technology. For example, I mean, even the AI data science job, I can tell you when I was studying that 15 years ago, people were looking at me like, what, this is statistics or mathematics? What is this, right? So today, data scientists are one of the highest paid profiles on the planet, right? So it will create a lot of opportunities, right? Jobs, exactly, I don't know, but opportunities, because it basically amplifies any skill. It amplifies any skill, but you need to have the skill.
Mm. You see, going back to the fundamentals.
Back to the fundamentals. Mm. I mean, if you write, I don't know, outreach emails, AI will write something generic for you. It will not be useful. Mm. But if you write the basis and then AI corrects your grammar, adds a little bit of a funny tone, whatever, okay, you see, it's amplifying it, right? So this is the way I look at it. Fundamentals and AI is just a booster. Technology is just a booster. It allows us to do more of what we know to do in way less time.
And focus on what matters more.
Absolutely. Mm.
Gassen, I would like to focus now more onto yourself, onto your personality. What do you think is your superpower, the field that you are a little bit better than other people?
This is a difficult one because I ask this, for example, during interviews. What's your superpower? I think on my side, I would say I am an enthusiast person. My mindset is about building, it's about growth. This sounds like I'm marketing myself, but you asked me about a superpower. Right?
And you can market yourself.
So I'm allowed to do that. I'm the best. No, I think, let's summarize it. I think more of a growth mindset and resilience. I am setting my expectations in a way that, look, And I'm doing difficult stuff. I'm not saying others aren't. We should do difficult stuff. If it doesn't feel difficult and tough, we are not doing
enough.
What's
the point?
What's the point, right? So I'm very resilient with that. So I really push forward. I really rarely take a no for an answer. I really push. Kindly. I'm not the kind of guy who will be just chasing you in front of your home or something. But yes, I am. I'm as a founder. I think it's resilience and keeping going is a must. And I think I have that.
Is there a personality that you admire, or several personalities, and what kind of character traits do you admire with these people?
A personality.
Like a person.
Yeah, yeah. So just for the record, I will not say Elon Musk.
Yeah, that's the most named person on the podcast, you know. So, yeah, he's number one so far.
Exactly. Yeah. No. I really admire Sir Richard Branson from Virgin. I read his books. I'm really, really inspired by him because, again, I was speaking about resilience. He's a guy who has everything against him and who still managed to do something out of that. So he's not perfect. I'm not saying he is. I'm just saying, like, he's really, for me, he has that thing that he's saying. He says, screw it, let's do it. And I'm an engineer, so I'm generally on the other side because I'm like, I analyze, I need data before taking decision and stuff. And then it happens to me sometimes. I think about it. Screw it, let's do it, and then we'll see. So yeah, Sir Richard Branson, I hope one day I'll meet him. I'm a big fan.
Is there a phrase, a motto, or a credo you live by?
No risk, no fun.
No risk, no fun. That's a good one. Finally, I would like to ask you, how do you think AI technology will make you better or your life better in 2 years?
Many ways. I think of travel. So AI should disrupt that industry, and will, right? So for example, you name it, from pricing of a ticket, from improving like the physics of an airplane and all of that. That's number one. Number two is more related to work, to business. So I'm looking forward to that day where, you know, call customer support and you don't have someone that is completely disengaged and bored because that person repeated the same answer 45,000 times. So that's definitely, then you get to the person that really has the solution, not just like, I mean, I don't know if you had called any of these telecom carriers. I don't want to name any, I don't want to be hated, but generally it does not go well there. And finally, again, learning. This is very important, education and learning. I think AI will just is currently completely revolutionizing that. And at Intivio, we do that. And that's the fundamentals. That's if we fix the fundamentals, everything is going to be okay. And AI can help with that.
Ghassan Benhajalla, serial tech entrepreneur. It has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for this talk. I wish you all the success, nothing less, and hope to see you soon.
Jakob, thank you so much. Appreciate the invite.
People, potential, technology.